If you'd like to read with us in St. John, the 6th chapter, and we're going to read just the 48th verse, very short verse. I am that bread of life. And this is Christ speaking, if you've got a red letter testament. I am that bread of life. And Christ, you know, there was so many people that was happy to see Christ for different reasons. There was a lot of people that was trying to catch him into something to prove that he wasn't what he was saying he was. But Christ said, I am that bread of life. And you and I today, we'll find if we read and study out the Word of God, Christ is, and He's the only one that's referred to as that, the bread of life. No matter what you want to study about, no matter what man you want to go back and read about in history, no matter who it is that people lift up, none of them has been referred to as the bread of life but Jesus Christ. And you and I today, even in this day and time in which we live, He is still that bread of life that can feed our soul, that can give us the strength that we need to face each and every day here in this life. You'll find so many people, they get discouraged because of the pressures of life. Things not going just the way that they wanted them to go. And they get to the point where they're saying someone other, take it, what's the point of living? I might as well take my life. There's no point in living here any longer. But if they'll just begin to reach out to God, they'll find that there's one there that is able to bring them back to a point where they can find joy and pleasure in this life. If they're living it the way God wants them to, you and I today, if we'll sit down and take the Word of God for a guide for our life, we'll find that this world is not such a horrible place that we can't live in it. Now, granted, I'm seeing a thing this week, an advertisement for a man and his wife. If they would apply, they're giving away, I forget how many, but a whole lot of free vacations to Las Vegas. But the stipulation, you must enjoy gambling and named a whole bunch of things, but they're going to set you up in one of the biggest and fanciest hotels or whatever there is there in Las Vegas. And I thought, why on earth would I want to even go to that place? There's nothing there that attracts my attention. But if they was offering to go somewhere or another in the mountains, a cabin somewhere or another all by yourself, where you can spend some time away from all of the things that distract you here in this life, just you and the Lord, that would be something to look forward to. Why? Because too many times here in this life, we get distracted by the things of this world. I believe it'd be good if America go for a while back to living in a time when we didn't have electricity. We didn't have all the modern conveniences that takes our time, occupies our mind, keeps us from thinking about the things of God. There was a time in America when Christian people, they didn't have a radio they could turn on. They went singing the hymns of the Lord. They didn't have a TV to set and turn on and set in front of. But they went thinking and praying about the things of God. They went spending time with their children or going and visiting the neighbor. And you hear people talking about way back in the 40s and the 50s, how people sit on their front porches in the community, watch the children play, and all of them would talk to their neighbors, they have fellowship back and forth. Today people can live side by side, and they don't even know their neighbor's name. that we should, we would be wanting to offer Christ to our neighbors. Feed on that would give them life. You know, I can remember back as a kid, people coming for a visit, and they'd bring a cake or a pie or something that they made. They'd bring it over just to sit down and fellowship and share it. And, you know, people enjoyed times like that. It didn't cost very much. And everybody knew everybody. And when somebody got sick, everybody was close to them. And prayer changed things. Today, nobody even knows the person that lives just a door or two down from them. And you and I today, if we was offering Christ unto people. You know, I can remember my dad going and setting up with people to 2 and 3 and even later. I've seen Dad coming home when it was breaking daylight. And him and 4 or 5 different families would come together and set up, the adults would set up almost all night talking on the Bible. They had a hunger. They didn't mind him, but when you coming back again? That was the question when he was leaving. When you coming back again? Today people sit down and if you go talking about the Bible, you'll find in just a little while most of the people in the room have moved off somewhere else. Why? Because it is not something they're interested in. That's why they get in trouble. Here it is how they find sin, they're reaching out and it goes for them because they've not took time to eat on that bread of life. They don't know what God's Word. They don't know what God required of them. They never took the time to digest it and say that God's Word is true. That it means exactly what it said and that it's going to be fulfilled. And you and I, if we come before God in violation of it, there's not going to be any excuses made. Christ, He said, I am that bread of life. You and I today, if we make it to heaven, we're going to have to sit down and eat of that bread that He was talking about. And you know, there've been many of a time I sat down and I read the Bible, and when I began to digest what it was saying, it was hard. Begin to digest what it was saying, it becomes something that was hard for me to accept because I realized I was in violation of it. But when I mold myself to what it says, it's a joy and it's a pleasure to read and understand the Word of God. And you and I, there's many, many, many times we'll read the Bible and the words coming off the page will chastise us for the choices that we're making in life. But when we listen to them and we hear what it says, you and I can see and know in such a short time what a difference it makes. You know, I can remember many times in my life coming in weak because I had worked and it had been so long since I'd ate and coming in just weak. And especially years ago when I worked hard, it was not a meal if you set me down to eat. And there wasn't at least 2 things on that table. One was meat and the other was bread. Those 2 things I could make a meal out of. But I had to have them. You could put all the vegetables you wanted on that table. And if I ate them in no time, I was hungry again. But if you had meat and bread, it would stick with me. Well, we need to come and sit down and eat the Word of God. We'll find it will give us the strength that we need to overcome everything that we face here in this life. When the devil comes out of us, we'll have the strength to stand up and push against it and endure. But the reason we find people just blowing in the wind today, when and behold, they never took the time to get down in God's Word and get that strength to resist and go against the force the way the world is trying to push us. In Romans, the 5th chapter, in the 8th verse, but listen to this, but God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You and I, it wasn't while we were such good, honorable people that He come and died for us. He died for us while we were yet sinners. He died for us when we was in a place, according to the very Word of God, that a loving, an all-wise God shouldn't even give us any time. But yet because of His love and His mercy, He took time to make a way for us. You realize back there in the Garden of Eden, it were man began to reject God. They did exactly what God told them not to. And ever since then, man has been rejecting the thing that God ordered us to live by. And you and I, how do we come to the place that we see ourselves lost and realize that we need a Savior? We'll never come to the place that that Christ that died there at Calvary and rose again can do us any good. As long as we're saying, I'm okay, I'm a good person, I'm better than so-and-so. We can't see that we need a Savior. But when we start looking at ourselves through the eyes of a righteous God, through the eyes of the one that God there offered Himself for us, when we begin to look at ourselves through those eyes, then we can see that we need a Savior. Why? Because that that we think is not that bad.
When we look at it
through the eyes of God and see ourselves as we really are, we'll begin to realize we're far worse than we ever imagined. You know, and remember just a few weeks ago, maybe not even that long, time gets away from me, I put a tie on in my closet that I like. It's pretty. And I got it out of the closet and didn't have the best light in that closet, and I just put it on and tied it without really noticing that much. And after service is over and I was going home, my daughter pointed out to me I had some spots and stains on that tie. Well, you know, I wouldn't have wore it if I'd have noticed that. But I didn't notice it. And so I got up in front of everybody. It didn't bother me a bit because I hadn't seen it. You know, that's where most of us are living our life. Because we don't look at ourselves through the eyes of the one that's going to judge us. We don't see just how bad we look. We're walking around a lot of times in dim light because we're walking so far from God. But the closer we move up to God, the brighter the light gets and the more it reveals our flaws and our mistakes, to help us to see just what God's Word is teaching us. And when we sit in the light of that Word, begin to eat of it and to see just what God required of us, what a difference it makes in our life. We wonder what's happened to the Spirit in the churches today. We wonder what's happened to the Spirit in mom and dad's lives. We wonder what's happened to the Spirit in the young people today. It's because they've not had the examples of people following the Word of God the way that they should. Back when I was a kid, I could just point out to you all kinds of people that was spiritual people that could pray in the Spirit, could sing in the Spirit, could shout in the Spirit, could pray in the Spirit, could preach in the Spirit. But today it's not like that. You go into a lot of churches, there's no Spirit to be filled, there's no Spirit to even be connected with there. You listen to the message and it goes out and it tells you nothing. nothing about how the kidney to live. It tells you nothing about what is sin in our lives that we need to lay aside. But if you tell us how good that we are, how the church is growing, how we need the fellowship, we need to go back and set a feast upon God's word. Find out what God thinks about it. When God says that we're an adultery, then we need to accept it. When God calls it fornication, then we need to accept it. When God says it's sin, then we need to lay it down. We need to accept it. And come back to the word of the Lord that we might have the blessings of God. You know, I've had Christian people to excuse language of somebody else that was supposed to be a Christian because, well, they wasn't in church when they said it, as if that made a difference. You and I, our heart, it should be the same every day of the week. 365 days a year, even 366 when it's leap year. We don't even get a day off that year. If our heart's right with God, we should be living for the Lord, each and every one of them. Granted, you might not be in church every day. But just because you're in church does not mean you don't live a Christian life. That means you need to live it each and every day. Need to pray, need to read the Word of God, and need to meditate upon the things of God. You know, each and every one of us, we look around and we see all of the things that God put here and how God provides for them. And with all of the birds and the wildlife and everything that's here, isn't it amazing that you don't see more of them out there that just died on their own? Well, God said it here and for things to clean up after. One dies, something else eats it. But, you know, you and I, when we die, here spiritually, the thing that eats us up is the very sin and the things of this world that is separating us from God. And we think it don't matter that much, but it will just engulf us to where, if we're not careful, we'll get to where we don't even know the way back to God. You know, you'll find there the prodigal son. When he found himself feeding hogs and ready to eat of that the hogs he does. And you'll find Jewish people don't think much of hogs. And yet this man was ready to eat of that the hogs had. Then he said, in my father's house, the servants, they have food to spare. I'll arise and go there. You know, I've seen people that once knew God and they walked so far away to where they didn't even retain God at all. I heard one say once, she's facing surgery. And a woman mentioned to her, well, are you going to pray? Get the church to pray for you. And she said, why? I haven't thought of God in a long time. So I turned to Him now. That's a pitiful place to be, isn't it? But you and I today, if we realize God is our help, don't walk so far away that the devil blinds you so that you can't see the way back to that. Don't think, well, I'm young, I've got a long time, I can turn around and come back later in life. You have no promise of tomorrow. Christ died for you. He's that bread of life. He's everything that you need for you to live and survive here as a Christian. Don't think because I'm young, I can waste so many years and then turn around and come back to the Lord. Not all of us are good to live to be old. I'm 61 and I was just thinking I've got just a few years, so I'll be as old as my dad was when he died. But I
The Bible just says it's appointed unto man once to die. God designed a time for my life to end. And when I come to that time, it's going to end. But he also said we can shorten our life by not living for it. You and I, if we remember God in our youth, he said it for a longer day here on this earth. It's time today to realize tomorrow you have no promise of it. Today is all that you have. It's my death for infinity. The breath of air that you have in your lungs, you can say that one is mine. But the next one is a gift from God. The blood your heart just falls down. You can't claim. But whether it be son of the child or not, it's a blessing from God. Each and every one of us, God's the one that gives life, and he's the one that takes it. And when we come to that place where God has drawn the line for our life to end, we better make sure that our heart is right with it if we want to be with it.
When this world comes to an end, you and I, think of it. We have no promise of tomorrow. And God told us that we're going to give an account of our life the way that we've lived it. We're going to be judged by just what we did with the Word of God. With the Word of God is not precious unto you. If it's not your roadmap, if it's not the instruction book that you use for your life, then you're on the wrong road. And each and every one of us, we can pick up maps here in this world, and I've done it many times, and find a mistake in that map where it was not drawn right. There's a mistake there. They left the road out. Or they had put a road in that wasn't even there yet because it was planned, but it had not been built yet. And yet they showed it on the map. But you know, when we come to the Word of God, it's not that way. God made it perfect for us to follow. Everything is right there that we need for to get us from this life to heaven, if we'll go by. While we get some song to sing, Christ died for you. What we read to you, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You and I, you know, that's the thing I like about Paul's writing. Paul don't turn around and say, while ye were a sinner, Christ died for you. But he included himself in there, didn't he? He said, died for us. I'm so thankful that he did for me. What a difference it made in my life. And you know, I know a lot of people, they think that you're peculiar if you believe in a true salvation. If you believe in a God, they think that you're weak-minded. I just ask you to come and try. See if he won't prove himself to you. I want each and every person in the whole world to have salvation, to experience what I've experienced, so you can know beyond a shadow of any doubt it's real. I want every Muslim on the face of the earth, every Buddhist, every person that worships an idol or a god of anything other than my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his Father, I want you to come and try him. Because you've been slipped the counterfeit. I know it ain't popular in the world in which we live today. They want you to just embrace all religions. But if you're not worshiping the true and living God and his Son, Jesus Christ, you're an idol worshiper. And there is no other book been printed to guide you in anything that can compare with the Word of God. You can pick up the Quran. You can say all you want to about it. Oh, what a wonderful piece of literature it is, or whatever you want to say. But it's a book of hatred. But God's Word is a book of love, showing what love God had to us and what we're supposed to show to others. While we stand and sing, come and try Find out what it is to be made alive in Christ Jesus. That the world could see, even in you, that new man and that new woman. While we sing, will you come? Christ is that bread that will give you life, that will make you different from anyone else around you. If you're living in a place where there's no Christian, if you'll try Christ, you'll see that you can shine above all around you, no matter how good they might be in just being human. They can't be what Christ wants you to be. Will you come?